Blog Talk Radio.
In these days of tea parties and constitution rallies, we're all looking back to our founding fathers for a little bit of wisdom. Samuel Adams said, "It does not take a majority to prevail, but rather an irate, tireless minority, keen on setting the brush fires of freedom in the hearts of men." This is the voice of an irate, tireless minority of one. We'll be talking about politics, religion, and doing what's right. And you can call me Mom.
You're lost, you don't know where you are, you're all alone. You're in the dark and you don't know where to find the light.
Irate Tireless Minority, which is titled Choice and Consequences, because life is all about the choices we make. And today we're going to dip into the philosophical underpinnings of the USA and Western culture and why it matters. And believe me, it matters. First, in politics, now I have listed in the show description three videos, and there's links to them, that are really excellent videos as far as getting a grip on some of the philosophical things I'm going to be talking about. But I am not covering by any means everything that's in those videos. You should really give them a watch or a listen, because, you know, it's just a person talking, so you can listen easily. But let's get started, shall we? Politics. We have natural rights versus political rights. You know, republic versus democracy, that sort of thing. These things are not well understood in the USA today, but they were well understood at the time of our founders. We think we're all so smart and so wonderful, and that, you know, everybody who came before us was just, you know, didn't have the benefit of our greater technology to know things, so we don't have to listen to them. But the thing is, when somebody builds a fence, whether it's a fence in reality, a physical fence, or whether it's a fence of idealism or culture, that fence is there for a reason. And a wise person thinks about why that fence was put there before they tear it down or jump over it. Okay, that's just common sense, something also that's lacking in today's world. And our founders knew the difference between a republic and a democracy. I've said these things before, but I'm hoping I can say them again in a way that makes more sense to somebody who didn't get it or who hasn't heard it before. So if you're listening in the chat, please feel free to share. And if you join me later live, that would be great too, but I'm going to be doing some heavy thinking, I hope, to make this a little bit coherent. A democracy is mob rule. It is the majority rules. It is the mob says, we want this piece of land. Too bad that your family's owned it for generations. We have voted. It's ours. The mob says, we think you did it and you should be punished. Therefore, you should be punished. In a republic, the rule of law says, no. The mob does not get to punish that person. You don't get to sentence that person to jail. That person has a right to be tried and to see what the actual facts are, the objective facts, and to have those objective facts evaluated by a third party who is, God willing, relatively impartial, to say whether or not the laws that the majority have agreed on have been violated. See, the majority have to agree, the majority of a nation or a culture have to agree on the laws of that nation or culture, because if they don't, then it's not a nation or culture. You must agree that these things are what we hold to be principles. These things are what we hold to be our values. These things are what we share that make us a group. Because a group is an abstract idea. There's no such thing really as a group. There's just a bunch of individuals. But when those individuals share a value or a culture or a value set, then they can be said to be a nation or a culture. And in the United States, our value set values liberty, not license, liberty. And there's a difference. Liberty is freedom to do what you should. License is freedom to do what you want. And that's a problem in today's society, where people are saying, oh, I can choose to be a woman today. I can choose to be a man today. I can choose to be this, that, or the other thing. That's doing what you want, not doing what you should. The idea, when I've talked before about self-reliance and personal responsibility being the bedrock of this nation, that and Christian values. Because Christian values encourage personal responsibility and self-reliance. And somebody who is personally responsible and loves liberty, the freedom to do what you should, even if they feel like, and a Christian who respects God, even if they feel like their sexual attraction is only to the same sex, not to the opposite sex, like it should be normally. Should be normally. I'm not taking those back, because that's the truth. That's the objective truth of the matter. When they feel that way, then as a personally responsible individual, they say, does this, if they're a Christian, they say, does this comport with what God would have in the world? The answer is no. And so they refrain from doing it. They make that individual choice if they respect and love God. In a society where liberty is the basis, forget about God. Liberty, the freedom to do what you should. Of course, without God, how do you know what you should? Because without that outside absolute moral standard, there is no should or shouldn't, there's only what we feel today. And that's the problem you get into. But say there was no God and people just, you know, knew this is good, this is bad, or we've decided as a people this is good, this is bad. Liberty, they would say, what is best for my society? And the fact is, the objective facts are that homosexuality is bad for a society. The health risks are horrific, horrific for those individuals who engage in that behavior. It robs the next generation because those people are not reproducing. And it infects this generation with those who are looking for a thrill and who lack self-restraint, who engage in permissiveness rather than liberty, rather than self-restraint, they engage in permissiveness. And because freedom is our watchword, which we don't distinguish from liberty or license, we say freedom. Well, freedom becomes permissiveness to do whatever you like. And that's the problem we're facing right now. The greatest, Dr. Oz Guinness in this first video says, the greatest enemy of freedom is freedom. Because when you can do things, it instead of liberty, it leads to permissiveness. And you say, I should be able to do whatever I feel, because I don't agree with your God, I don't agree with your value set, and I'm free. And the people of self-restraint and liberty say, yes, you are free to engage in that behavior, but be aware that there are consequences for that. The health risks of homosexuality. You want to identify as somebody of an opposite sex and go into a bathroom dressed as that opposite sex and teach the citizenry and the children not to view that deviant behavior as unhealthy and something to be avoided? That's what they want. And that's damaging. That's a risk to the health, not just of those children, not just of the people, but of the nation itself. Because when you deny objective reality in order to soothe somebody's feelings, denial becomes too easily a habit. And denial kills. You ask anybody who's worked at a woman's shelter or anybody who has worked with abused people of any sort, denial kills. Oh, but I love him and he apologized. And so she goes back. And this time he kills her. That's denial. What's a woman to do in those situations? Lay down the law. If you can't behave when we're together, then you will provide two residences and you will only come to mine when I approve it. That's laying down the law. And if you want to fix that, then you get yourself into some counseling. You don't have to go to the government for that. But denial kills. And when we tell people to deny the objective reality of the unhealthiness of homosexuality or transgenderism and the effect that it has on the nation, that's denial. And that's walking right into suicide. When we deny the threat posed by communism, that's a different kind of denial. When we deny the threat posed by Islam, that's a different kind of denial. Those two kinds of denial are less deadly than the denial that says license is the same as liberty. It is not. License is freedom to do what you want. Liberty is freedom to do what you should. And in the United States, I'm going to move on now to religion. In the United States, the founders valued truth, objective truth, over tradition. In Islam, they value tradition over truth. And in progressivism, I think they value heroism over truth. But that means that the ends justify the means, because in communism, there is no God, so there is no objective outside moral standard by which to judge. Therefore, the powerful people, the people who can command others, get to say, today I feel like this is what's true. Today I feel like this is what's good. Somebody told me a good story and I feel good about it, and therefore it's the truth today. That's the problem with communism. That's the denial of reality. There is no objective truth, so there can be nothing good. But everybody wants to be a hero. And that means serving the good. But when you have no objective good, how are you a hero? Well, you do that by making people feel good. And how do you make people feel good? By not disputing with them their notions of reality. That's what's happening with the whole LGBT thing in America. We want to make these people, these downtrodden people, feel good. That's the whole thing with Black Lives Matter, too. We want to make people feel good, regardless of the truth, regardless of objective reality, because that's what progressivism is. There is no outside moral standard by which to judge good and evil, but they still want to be heroes. I can embrace that. I'd like to be a hero. I want to be helpful to people. I love helping people. I love being able to help people. I love nothing better, you know, seeing somebody in trouble on the side of the road and stopping to help them because, oh, that's dangerous. You shouldn't do that. But because that's a simple thing. That's a simple act of heroism. I stop, I help them, it's done, it's over, I never have to see them or interact with them or find out if they're a jerk or not. It's done, and I did something good, that makes me a good person, and I feel good for the rest of the day. That's the easy things, the small easy things to be a hero. Now, in Islam, and the video for the religion section is Abdul Murray sharing the gospel with our Muslim friends. In Islam, we have truth versus tradition. Tradition and honor are more important in that culture than is objective truth. See, that's why we're not getting any purchase when we say, but taqiyya, and kitman. Come on, people. Muslims are allowed, and no, not just allowed, but required to lie if it serves their purposes. And we don't get that. We think that once we point that out, Muslims should recognize that and recognize that it is wrong because the truth is one of our bedrock principles, respect for the truth. But they don't, because in their culture, honor and tradition are more important. And one of the things that Mr. Murray says is that when you're sharing the gospel with a Muslim friend, even though they're not allowed to have Christian friends or Jewish friends or non-Muslim friends, one of the things you can do is show them in the Bible where it says, I think it's John the Baptist talking to the Jews, where he says, don't count yourselves as special because your father was Abraham. Out of these rocks, I could raise up children to Abraham. See, that says your tradition's an important thing. The most important thing is knowing the truth that Jesus Christ is the Lord and you need to follow him in order to be saved. I've got a caller on for Skype, and I'm not sure if they want to talk or not. I've got a little question mark, so I'm going to bring that caller on quick before I go to doing what's right and see if they want to talk or if they're just listening. So, hello.
Hello there.
And are you just listening today, or did you have a question?
Oh, well, depends what you'd like to do, but I don't mind having a discussion.
Well, I have another topic to go on to, but we can discuss if you like. I don't want to put you on the spot. To whom am I speaking, sure, or what name can I call you by?
Oh, you can call me Andy.
Hello, Andy. So did you have a topic you wanted to...
I was just thinking about your comments, and it is an incredibly difficult thing to deal with, what you're talking about. But unfortunately, most people don't get to the higher levels of understanding, I suppose you could call it the metaphysics of our reality. And therefore, people will always be generally warring against each other, various different groups, because people are in various ways manipulated into such situations. So you really need to have a very large mosaic view of what's going on if you're going to counteract such things, and have some very, very clear strategies, because it sounds like you're sort of wanting to make a difference, but perhaps not having all of those tools at your disposal, and perhaps even as a group, not having those tools at your disposal.
Yes. And then you talk to the people who get into the Far Eastern philosophies, who are all about the metaphysical and think that nothing in this world matters. But it does, because this is where we are and where we have to act. This is where we can.
I was referring to it more in a sense of geopolitics than Eastern mysticism.
Ah, that's also true, because I know a lot of people who they learned what they learned in school, and that's what they think is true, and they never revisit those things again. They just say,
but
this
I don't
is
think that,
the
like,
truth
you know,
of the world.
Yeah, I don't think that talking about the fact that a lot of Muslim people are highly indoctrinated, Christian people too for that matter, Jewish people too for that matter, depending on how far back you want to go, and depending on how far you're allowing yourself to question your own belief systems. And I don't particularly want to get into any heavy debates on that, unless you've studied Mithraism and Zoroastrianism and the Hindu religions and even further back than that. I don't know if I want to get into a debate around anything like that. But what I do see is that you want to try to find a way to, you know, maybe deal with your community, et cetera, et cetera. But I really believe that it comes down to understanding how, you know, what recently one of the members of the Knights Templar wrote a book, which was called The End of Alchemy. And if you understand the alchemy of what's been happening with our perception of value in this world, then you'll begin to understand how to get yourself out of it.
I will have a look at that book if I can find it. But yes, we are indoctrinated. But the thing is, sure, that no matter what worldview you're indoctrinated into, at some point you have to choose one by which to live. And the foundation of this nation, the USA, is founded on the values of Christianity. And in my own studies, those values, when followed, lead to the most stable, productive, and safe societies. And because...
Well, I mean, I suppose you're... I'm sorry to interrupt, but I think you're right. No. To an extent. But if you go read, for example, the 68th Convocation of the Rose Cross Order, which explains why the pyramids on the dollar bill, and, you know, written by the Rose Cross Order for the Rose Cross Order, explaining the esoteric aspect of what's called mystic Christianity, in other words, the mystery behind Christianity in their own words. And you'll notice that the Founding Fathers, et cetera, et cetera, you'll see that the Founding Fathers, et cetera, et cetera, and the guiding light behind the nation was coming out of that school of thought. But that's very esoteric and hidden to most people. Most people only get the exoteric doctrine of the United States and the Founding Fathers being these, you know, good Christians and that sort of thing. So I would highly recommend looking at that. There's a book written for the elite, by the elite. And, and it's sort of like, you know, then you'll see that there's more sort of chess pieces behind the front chess pieces on the board, so to speak, if I could give you a metaphor for what's actually going on. It's not
yes,
so cut and dry.
I know that I like to look into that sort of thing occasionally just because I'm a data junkie. But on the face of it, I think that you still need to act according to a set of values that are outside, you know, a moral absolute that's outside of society, and that people have to choose that. And that it would be sufficient for them to choose what's written in the Bible rather than to go seeking after all this secret knowledge, because the reality is, especially of the United States, that if the people refuse to go along with that, with the secret knowledge stuff, then the reality is that that secret knowledge stuff doesn't matter. And the individual has a choice every single time that they're asked by such an elite to do thus and such to make their incremental goals in controlling the world a reality. The individual has a choice whether to do that or not to do that. What say you?
Well, I would say that, you know, you have to look at human nature. So what I've started to realize is that if you take into account human nature and how humans are also very easily manipulated in many cases, which is painfully evident to anyone who's had a little bit of a look at this sort of thing. You'll find that the reason that people are able to manipulate others or control certain aspects of society, et cetera, et cetera. And there are warring factions, no doubt, amongst the so-called elite. The reason that they're able to do this is because a lot of these people are probably polymaths and so forth, and they look at things from a point of worldview of Gnostic dualism, meaning that there's a lot more to the parameters of our reality, and no one likes to think that there's nature at play here. No one likes to think that we live in an ecosystem. But it, you know, but that's the thing. It could be, and I mean, I from my research, I find that this is quite highly likely the case. And if this is the case, you can figure out how to protect yourself. But the point is, no one wants to have to form a network to be able to go up against the CIA, to be able to in general, to be able to assassinate the person that's otherwise going to assassinate the person that would have gotten into office to change things. So it's sort of like a spy of a spy kind of Mad Magazine spy of a spy scenario, but no one wants to be that other spy in general. And that's why the power elite always hold the power, because they're willing to do the, you know, very, very, very dark other side of the coin work at the same time, two sides of the same coin, to be able to maintain control. And of course, but I mean, even your worldview and your particular view, I can hear, is very much Christian. So it'll kick in and say, no, but Christ can take us through it, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, you haven't maybe looked at, for example, Christ, the Last Great Initiate by, I think it was A.E. Waite and things like that. So, I mean, not that there isn't necessarily an afterlife or anything like that. I don't want you to get scared of it. But I highly recommend going and reading those things, and then you'll get a, you know, I mean, my life's not perfect. I'm not claiming to be some all-knowing person here. But I really recommend that you go and look at that, those types of things, and maybe make your peace with it, and then strategically identify how your community can deal with and your network can deal with these things, and start realizing that if you're ever going to defeat people on that level, that you either have to use some very heavy political diplomacy and media manipulation, or you have to use some very, very deep, dark, covert counterintelligence and counter-spy networks to be able to counteract what's actually going on. Because anybody here on Blog Talk, myself included, we're talking on the very much lower level. And even this is monitored. This whole call is monitored. So I'm just talking about what's logical. And some people, some groups are going to be able to thrive and enter into a new state of being and a new existence in the next, say, 50 to 100 years. But the vast majority of people, I think, based on the statistics and what's been happening, it's at a tipping point. It's either going to go into a new dark ages of scientific control, or George Orwell's 1984 scenario, or it's going to go into some kind of new utopia where people get enlightened, so to speak, and start looking at things more from a structured organizational point of view, and it's some kind of technocracy mixed with benevolence towards your fellow man. So this is the question mark, really, and maybe a bit of a mix of the two, maybe for a few hundred years. So, you know, if you're a futurist, if you're a researcher, if you're into understanding some of those things, I highly recommend checking out some of those books. But thanks for letting me chat on the show.
Well, thanks for joining me. And I've only got a few minutes, but I'm going to address a little bit of what you said. And in that, you said that you have to go to all this work and find out all these hidden things to enable to defend yourself and protect yourself. But I don't think you do. I don't think that most people will, for one thing. And I don't think you have to go to all that trouble, because not everybody wants to manipulate the world. That's the point of America.
No, I'm just saying, if any group did actually want to change, for example, the United States, and really reformat the United States into some kind of utopia that's loving and benevolent towards the world, the level that you'd have to go to is to counteract the powers already existing in that space. It's not that you can't live peacefully within the space. I'm saying, if you wanted to reform,
I'm going to have to cut you off
because
we've got. I'm going to have to cut you off because we've got 90 seconds. But
right.
I don't think it's within the nature of man to be transformed into some utopia. And thank you for joining me so much. That was very interesting.
Keep well. Keep well. Thank you.
Thanks. You have a great week. Now that was Andy, and I'm not sure where he's from, but interesting stuff to think about. I've got my 60-second warning, so I'm going to say we are all an irate, tireless minority of one. We can all make a difference, and we are all supposed to. Yes, the media is out there touting their agenda. Yes, you've got all those big political players. But in the end, what you do is your choice. And you need to become informed so that you can make the best choice for yourself and your family. Get out there, make a difference, and have a great week.